I want to bring you back to, before I open up in prayer, I want to bring you back to the Psalms that Pastor Tom read this morning. Psalms 139. When he read it the first service, I thought, Lord, you're doing it again. You're confirming what you've given me to discharge into the house. Psalms 139, verse 1 out of the New Living Translation reads, O Lord, you have examined my heart, and you know everything about me. You know when I sit down, when I stand up. You know my thoughts even when I am far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. Again, that first verse, you have examined my heart. Let's open up with a word of prayer. Father, once again, we acknowledge you, for we recognize that yours and yours alone is the power to do all things. God, I ask for an anointing for understanding to be unleashed in this house, and that nothing remains in me, Lord, that you have assigned to this congregation. I pray your blessing upon everyone, Lord, that you would awaken their ears to listen like one being taught. Speak forth your truth today for the glory of your great name and for the advancement of your kingdom. All this we ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen. King Solomon wrote in the book of Proverbs, and I want to focus in on the fourth chapter. And what he wrote, he says, above all else, I mean, everything that you and I would deem important and valuable, he says, above all of that, above all else, guard your heart. Guard your heart. Because out of your heart flows the very issues of life. And so it's in your heart that boundaries are set. Boundaries are set in your heart. What you will or will not do comes from the heart. And so, brothers and sisters, what will qualify or disqualify us is our heart. You take your Bibles and follow me over to our text today, which comes out of the gospel according to Matthew, the 19th chapter. We're going to begin with the 16th verse. I'm reading out the NIV, and it says, Now a man came up to Jesus, and he asked, Teacher, what good thing must I do to get or to gain eternal life? Why do you ask me about what is good? Jesus replied, There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments. Which one? The man inquired. Jesus replied, Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honor your father and your mother, and love your neighbor as yourself. All these I have kept, the young man said. What do I still lack? Jesus answered, If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come follow me. Verse 22, when the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. This passage is not addressing how much money one should have or how it should be distributed. My personal opinion, it is not addressing money at all. The real issue in this passage is the heart. It's the heart. I want to talk to you in my time here with you this morning about the heart. As we read this text, there's a truth that surfaced. And that truth is, God will offend your mind to reveal what's in your heart. God will offend your mind to reveal what's in your heart. I want you to notice the offense. Jesus here is talking to the rich young ruler. The offense came when he said, go sell your possessions and give them to the poor. Sell my possessions? Everything that I have worked for? Everything that I've labored for, that which pretty much validates me as a success in the society, just give it away and give it to a group of people who understand nothing about the toil and the sacrifice, of people who will not appreciate the wealth that it took me years to accumulate, and they'll just spend it recklessly. Give that to them. Saints of God, I want you to know that there was an offense here, and it revealed the heart of this rich young ruler. This rich young ruler is coming as someone who has, Lord, I've kept all of the commandments. I'm one who is committed. I'll do whatever it needs to be done to follow you. What more do I lack? Looking to justify himself and what he has accomplished. But Jesus knew his heart. And so he offends this rich young ruler, not in any way to condemn him, because Jesus knew his heart. He offended the rich young ruler so that the rich young ruler would know what was in his heart. That's why God is out about offending his people, offending the minds to reveal what's in the heart, because God knows our hearts. But he wants you to know what's in your heart. You see, and we'll get to the scripture that declares that the heart is deceitful. It's beyond cure. Who, which one of us can understand it? It will condemn that which is right, and at times it will condone that which is wrong. It will tell us you were right and justified in what you did. That person had it coming. Have you ever had that thought? This is not the place to lie. You were justified. They had it coming. You're entitled to that. Oh, we have those thoughts. And so the scripture concludes by saying the rich young ruler walked away because he had great wealth. God exposed and revealed his heart through offending his mind. But let's make this relevant. Let's talk about us. We'll get back to the rich young ruler. What about us? Has anyone ever said anything to you that really hurt and hurt you deeply and caused a tremendous amount of pain? Maybe they did something. And as you were brewing, because, I mean, it was painful. And as you were brewing and considering and the audacity, the Spirit of God moves on the scene and prompts us to forgive. That is an offense. I've been there, saints. I've in leadership, you're gonna get attacked. And I've had things said, and I've had things done. I've had things said about my bride, and man, that really upset me. And as I'm sitting there brewing about what I wish I could do if I weren't a pastor. And then the Holy Spirit comes on the scene and says to forgive. Forgive? What about what I feel? What about the hurt my wife is enduring? Forgive? And he says forgive on the spot. That was offensive. But you know what it revealed? It revealed the unwillingness of my heart. But I was so caught up in the offense, At that time, I didn't even catch it. You ever been there? You were so caught up in the pain. You were so caught up in the rejection, so caught up in the disappointment that you never picked up the unwillingness of your heart because you felt justified in what you felt. Even though the Spirit of God says, forgive as your Heavenly Father has forgiven you. Oh, bring scripture to me, buddy. Whoa. Or as the young people said, dude. Don't bring it to me. You see, man, it would have been a lot easier, as with the rich young ruler, if God had said to me, I know you're hurt. I understand the disappointment. Would you at least consider forgiving? Would you think about it? I could have accepted that. What about you? If the Spirit of God comes to you and said, would you at least consider it? I'll be back in a couple of weeks. No, forgive right there on the spot. That's offensive, especially when we're in the midst of the pain. But it reveals the nature. It reveals the unwillingness of our hearts. That's why God allows the offenses to come. Have you ever been denied something you knew was yours? That promotion was yours. You should have got that part in the play. You know what? You were the next one in line. You worked for that position. You've been faithful to this company. And you were looked over for someone else just because he's a relative. Oh, yeah. I said something this morning. I was told years ago, when you throw a rock in the pile of dogs and the one that goes, arr! That's the one that was hit. Guess what I just heard? Yeah. Now, I'm not throwing the rocks. I'm bringing the word. Holy Spirit's throwing the rocks, but I heard the... Arr! Have you ever been involved in something and you were never acknowledged as to the part you played? Do you know, and I'm talking about me now, do you know that there's been times, because I can look back, as a matter of fact, I was thinking about it when the Spirit of God was giving me this message, and there were times that people were being applauded about things that they had done, and I knew that I was a part, and I'm sitting there, and I'm waiting for my name to come forward. You ever been there? Some of you, okay. Probably most of you. But anyway, and so... Sometimes my name was mentioned. Sometimes my name wasn't. Scripture says, whether you eat or drink and whatsoever you do, do it all for the glory of God. But it's still nice to hear your name, right? But if you don't hear it, are you offended? And if you can catch that moment of offense, you'll reveal what's in your heart. Ever blame for anything that wasn't your fault? There's another. They stand behind the podium. They begin to share as to how God has used this event to bring people in. And yet, you were part of that committee and your name never mentioned. God will offend your mind to reveal what's in your heart. Listen to what the gospel according to John, the 6th chapter, verse 54 says. This is Jesus speaking now. And he's speaking to those who are standing by, but he's also speaking to a large group of disciples. Disciples who said, I'll give my life for you, Lord. I'll follow you to the ends of the earth. It reads in 54th chapter, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. Now, this statement offended many in the crowd. Verse 60 reveals the unwillingness of their hearts. Verse 60 reads, on hearing it, many of his disciples, the ones who were there, they've gone through some kind of instructions to be labeled a disciple. And so at some point, they must have said, God, we'll do whatever needs to be done to advance the kingdom of God. Yet, when the offense comes, their response is, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? And they turned away. God will offend our minds to reveal what's in our hearts. I want to take you now to 2 Kings, the 5th chapter. It's a story that we're all familiar with. Naaman the leper, commander in the Syrian army. They had gone out on a raid and he had captured people, and one of the young ladies that was captured was now a servant in his household. She knew her master was a leper, and she said to the wife one day, if my master would go to Israel, there's a prophet there. Power of God is there, and I believe that he would be healed of his leprosy. As the story goes, the king sends a letter with Naaman. He goes to the king, and the king rips his robe in disgust and says, hey, look how this fellow is trying to start a fight with us. Well, Elisha gets word of it and says, send the man to me. Send the man to me. He might know that there is a prophet in Israel. Now, keep in mind, in this context, I want to talk to you a little bit about Gehazi. Gehazi was the servant of Elisha, as Elisha was the servant of Elijah. And so, as Elisha carried the mantle of Elijah, I personally believe Gehazi was in a place where he could have carried that mantle of Elisha. However, his heart would not allow it. I mentioned to you earlier, what's going to qualify or disqualify is the heart. Is the heart. And how you and I respond to the offenses that come. Because, again, God will offend the mind to reveal what's in the heart. So the first thing that we hear about Gehazi is in the 4th chapter, verse 12. Adam Clark commentary records this. This is the first time we hear of this very indifferent character. And so from the very beginning, something is detected about his heart. Indifferent, his heart. Now let's go back to Naaman. We have in verse 10, let me pick up verse 10 here. Thank God for the first service. I'm going to tell on myself. I was preaching from a different message. But I realized that when I couldn't find verse 10. Tim Hager, I thought you were praying for me. Where is Tim? Pray, brother, pray. We pick it up in verse 10. Naaman is outside, and it says in verse 10, Elisha sends a message to say to him, go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed. Now look at verse 11. But Naaman went away angry. He was offended. He was offended. Why? And he goes on to say, I thought that he would at least come out and stand and call upon the name of the Lord, his God, wave his hands over the spots and cure me of my leprosy. Oh, you know why? Naaman is the general. Naaman is one of the top guys in military. Naaman has been very successful. You don't send a servant to Naaman. You go yourself. You don't take Naaman for granted. You don't, hey, young people, you'll understand it. Naaman doesn't roll like that. You don't treat Naaman like that. You come out, you acknowledge him, maybe a bow, a salute, and then you wave your hands and say, be healed. You don't send one of your subordinates. He was offended. You know why he was offended, though, saints? Because of his expectations. And because of his expectations, he almost missed the blessing of God's provision and bringing about a miracle. Had it not been for the subordinate. See, you want to despise Elijah's subordinate. He had enough sense to listen to his. Had he not listened to the subordinate, he would have died a leper because of the offense. Then he goes on to say it, and now he's ramping and raging. Are not the waters of Damascus better than the Jordan? I've been to Israel once, and the Jordan is. It's muddy. The part I like about the Jordan is packed with catfish. You know, they don't eat anything with scales on it, but man, I can live there a long time. But anyway, he's, you know, that's right. It is. They are cleaner. But let me tell you something, Naaman. You can wash all day long in those waters and still come out a leper. Couldn't they have chosen someone different? I get these comments all the time, and I'm through with it. But I've got missionaries out on the field. Why would they pick you? You're not even a missionary. You don't understand what we're going through. You don't know what we feel. But God does. And if God chose me, then there's something that God has placed in me that's going to meet those needs. Trust God's appointment. I think I'm talking to somebody this morning. Our expectations is so-and-so should have been. I looked in the bulletin and you're going to select, is it deacons, pastor? Yeah, I looked in that. You might already, you know, you already know who should be selected. Well, what if the person that you know should be in there because of their longevity and their service is not elected? How are you going to respond? It wasn't God. Oh, now it wasn't God. However, if the person that you want is elected, God showed himself faithful. Hallelujah. I tell you, saints, we got to get it. We got to get a life. And so without realizing it, Naaman almost robbed himself of the blessing. Many times we're offended because our expectations aren't met. I deserve more. I deserve more than what I was given. You know, I worked at a place, a Borgwin Educational Systems. You know, somebody here could know about that. Let me use another Millie Shoe Factory. You know, they're giving out raises, and they give you call in. Well, this happened anyway. They called a couple of the workers in, and when they came out, you know, everyone's waiting to hear what the other one got because they were all getting these increases around the same time. And the increase was 3 cents an hour. Those people came out offended. They could have kept their 3 cents. Some said, you could at least give me a nickel. And they began to speak and tear down the establishment. My comment was, if you don't like the place, then find some other place to work. But if you're going to stay here, keep your mouth closed. God will offend your mind to reveal what's in your heart. How many promises were never fulfilled because of a heart? See, we can quickly blame someone else. But for the most part, the real issue is the heart. How many opportunities failed because of the heart? As we read on in this passage, we discover that Gehazi was also offended. He was offended because when Naaman came back, Naaman was celebrating his deliverance, his freedom, his miracle. And he offered gifts to Elisha. And Elisha said, this is not a time to receive gifts. Well, when he said that, Gehazi said, that old boy don't know what he's doing. That's the interpretation. He says, I will go after him and get something for me. So all of a sudden now, he steps in the place of authority and makes a decision or overrides what the authority had spoken. Let me tell you something, saints of God. God never speaks around authority. God speaks through authority. So to tell me what God told you and it contradicts what God has said to the authority, you've missed it. I don't care how much you pray and how long you fast, you missed it. In the spirit, I just heard, oh! Because of his offense, Gehazi's offense, this scripture or this chapter ends with him taking on the leprosy that Naaman was healed of. And it wasn't just him. The scripture goes on to say you and your descendants. There is always that collateral damage when you and I follow the destruction of where that offense would lead us without identifying the condition of the heart. Everything we do and everything we say flows out of our hearts. Again, Solomon, guard your heart. Jesus said it this way, when you look upon a woman lustfully, you have already committed the act. Now, how is that possible? She's over there. I'm here. There's no way I've committed the act. But he goes on to say, you've committed the act where? Where? In your heart. What is he saying? He is saying that we do not see with our eyes. We see through our eyes. We see with what? A heart. We don't hear with our ears. We hear through our ears. We hear with our hearts. Heard any good gossip lately? Well, it was your heart that was listening. That's why there's some things that are said, it catches our attention. What? Catches our attention. You know why? Because that's the condition of our hearts. You can label Holy Spirit all you want. When it catches your attention and you're giving ear, that's in your heart. It's your heart that sets the boundaries, remember? So anything that you would do or would not do, it comes out of your heart, out of the abundance of the heart. The mouth speaks, the eyes see, the hands go after, the feet lead. It's in the heart. It's in the heart. What was it that disqualified Gehazi? I want you to respond now. What was it that disqualified Gehazi? What was it? His heart. That's what disqualified him. What has disqualified great leaders down through the centuries, both secular and spiritual? The heart. Now, I want all of you to respond to this one. What will disqualify you? That's right. We can blame the pastor. We can blame the employer. We can blame mom. We can blame dad. And I'm not saying that there was nothing there that influenced or tainted it in some way. But when it boils down to it, it's our heart that disqualifies us. It's our heart that qualifies us. Isaiah, the 29th chapter, verse 13, reads this way. The Lord says, these people come near to me with their mouths. With their mouths. They honor me with their lips. Ah, but their hearts. If I were to label or put a gift title to this sermon, it would be, oh, that heart. That heart. But their heart is far from me. Their worship of me is made up only of rules taught by man. I'm going to say years watching my heart. I've been in Springfield now for a little over two years, four months. And when I first came on the scene, and I would sit, because Springfield is meeting capital. A lot of meetings. And that's necessary, but anyway, a lot of meetings. I remember sitting in on some of the first meetings. And there were things that were being discussed, things that were being said. And at many times, people were asking for, well, what's your opinion? What's your thoughts? And there are a couple of times, I'm being transparent with you, there are a couple of times when I was going to say something, but then I began to look at my heart. And my heart was saying to me, I picked it up because I'm watching that rascal. My heart said to me, say this, let them know that you have a contribution. Let them know that you've got something to say. You're not just someone who just fell off the wagon. Let them know that you got a little edumacation too. And so my reason for speaking had nothing to do with the moderator at that time who was asking for suggestions. My reason for speaking was to impress. That's right. I know you don't, you probably said not you. No, it was me. That's right. My reason for speaking was to impress. And let me tell you, brothers and sisters, I've been in a lot of meetings that I've picked up some other hearts. That's the only reason they're speaking. Because it has nothing to do with what was being asked. Who wants to hear about what you did? He's talking about advancing the gospel. Well, you know, I pastored a church for 20-some years, and we had 450,000, and what does that have to do with where we're going? Well, I've got to let you know that if I did all of that, I'm sure qualified to speak, and you need to listen to what I'm about to say. If we would check our hearts, we would speak less. I brought little Sean up here, and Sean will tell you, I always say to Sean, how many ears do you have, son? He said, two. And mouth, one. You know what that means? Yeah. Listen twice as much as I speak. And if you listen twice as much, you won't speak as much. Another text that comes out of, or principle that comes out of this text, I've lost it. Which one is it? Yeah. I've got a sheet here where Pastor Tom says, you better be through at this time. So I'm like, and I've got all these numbers. Well, you know what? Let me give you the, I've got three steps I want to share with you. The first step in guarding our heart is to admit what Scripture declares. You got to admit that. And Scripture declares that the heart is deceitful. It's deceitful and it's above cure. Then it goes on to say, who can understand it? So it's talking to you and I. You see, your heart will condone that which is wrong and condemn that which is right at times. You were justified in giving them those words or making that statement. You had every right to do that. And my thing is, do you want to be right or you want to be reconciled? Which one? Well, for the most part, I want to be right. You hurt my feelings. I want my point to be shared. So admit what Scripture says. The second thing No, that's still the first. In Psalms 139, verse 23, it says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Isn't that something that the New Living Translation starts off, verse 1? God, you're examining my heart, examine my heart, and then we conclude with, O God, know my heart. It's the heart God is after. I mentioned earlier about Abraham that sacrificed or moved to sacrifice his son. God says, I want you to sacrifice him. God was not after Isaac's death. What was God after? Abraham's heart. I cussed this morning. I'm going to curse today. You ready? Tithe. Oh, you like when I cuss. Okay, tithe, tithe, tithe. God's not after your money. God doesn't need your money. Guess what God is after? Your heart. That's what God wants. Because when God examines the heart and brings purity in the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, you'll go forth and you will declare what God has given you declared. It will not be infiltrated or marred by anything of the flesh. That's what God wants. Men and women who are going to declare his truth, that none perish. As Reinhard Bonnke declared, let hell be plundered so that heaven is populated for the glory of God. So it says, search my heart. Then it goes on to say, test me. Uh-oh. Guess what you're asking God to do? Offend me. Huh? Isn't that a great prayer? We've got all these great prayers and declarations. Let's begin to pray that. Oh, God Almighty, offend me today. Mm-hmm. That's about how far it'll go. Offend me, oh God, so that I might know what's in my heart. Because, saints, an unexamined heart is not worth living out of. If you're not in the process of examining your heart, exposing what's on the inside of it, then that heart that you're living out of does you no good. It makes you nothing more than religious as the Pharisees. You know all of the words. You know Scripture. You could probably stand behind this podium and bring forth the word. But if that heart is not being examined, you are deceived. Thank you, sister. Here's the second step. Confess what Scripture reveals and pray the prayer of Psalms 52. Cry out in Psalms 52, oh God, create in me a pure heart. Create in me a pure heart, oh God. Don't leave this place thinking because of your years and your longevity and your ministry that your heart is okay. Say, God, as you examine me, as you offend me to reveal what's in my heart, God, work with me so that the heart that has been exposed can be made pure for the glory of your great name and for the advancement of your kingdom. And then the third step is a lifestyle. You pay attention to what comes out of your mouth. I'll tell you what, saints, if we begin to listen what comes out of our mouth, it'll tell us what our heart's about. Don't try to justify it. Just evaluate it. Examine it. Notice what turns your head. Because remember, you're not seeing with your eyes, you're seeing through it. Your heart is looking and after that. Then identify what captures your attention. Why? For it's out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. Here's how I want to close. I know God has been speaking to you. I don't believe that the winds of Africa held Pastor Jeff just by accident. I know what God was speaking to me, and Tom, I didn't share this with you. I was looking at this sermon before you called, just looking at it, and all of a sudden, boom, you called. I believe this is a divine appointment. I really believe that. I believe that I heard the prophetic word that God has already started the move and what God is desiring to do in Central. But God can't do it through broken and marred hearts who are locked into religion and their own values and what they have accomplished. All that needs to be put to the side, because whatever you're willing to walk away from will determine what God can trust you with. And so here's the altar call, saints. You know the Spirit of God has been talking to you, and you would say, God, today, I will stand and declare, God, test me so that I will know my heart. I want you to stand if that's you. I'm standing. I am constantly evaluating my heart. Let me first of all say, I applaud you, church. I honor you for responding to the voice of God. God wants to, and God's going to do something great, but he's going to flow through pure hearts. And you've taken the first step to say, God, I acknowledge my need of you. I acknowledge my complete and total dependency upon you. God, if you're going to have your way in my life, then my heart must be turned towards you. It tells us in the book of Ezekiel that God will change that heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh. And I thank God for salvation and all of what it has meant. But there's another layer, saints. There's another layer where we move from coming to church, where we now become the church for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Lift your hands to him and say, God, my heart needs a touch from you. My heart needs transformation. Right there where you stand, you talk to him, saints. You talk to him. Say, God, I want a pure heart. But let me add to that. Ask God to begin to offend you. Oh, I know way past. No, I'm serious about that. Because when God begins to offend, at that very moment, watch your heart, and it will reveal to you what's in it. Saints of God, you're going to see arrogance. You're going to see pride. You're going to identify an entitlement mentality. You're going to see selfishness. But all of these things are hindering the work of the Spirit in your life. So who cares what's revealed? I just want it removed. That's what I want, God. I want it removed. You learn to be more transparent. You learn to be more honest when your heart is pure. You'll be what the young people need. The young people will be what our young kids need. The baton is constantly being passed on from one generation to the other, but through pure hearts. God, you see your people. You know each heart individually, Lord. You know where they need to be offended. My prayer for this congregation, Lord, is that you begin to offend hearts, offend minds, Lord God, to reveal what's in the heart, and then give them the capacity, Lord, to change that, Lord, because we can do nothing apart from you, but it's through you that we can do all things which have been assigned to us. I ask your touch upon them now, and I give you glory and honor, Lord, for what you have initiated, what has begun this day for the glory of God. In Jesus' name. Now, I want you to say, Lord, as an act of my will, I declare today to be the first day of transforming my heart with your help and with the leading of the Holy Spirit. I commit myself afresh to you in the name of Jesus, my Savior. Amen. Amen.